So, chapter 6, we looked at this a little bit last week. The church is no longer seen on earth. It was seen singing to the Lamb that was slain, and that He washed them of their sins. And so we see this is prior to the Great Tribulation. The church is not there in the Great Tribulation. There will be people we see that do get saved in the Tribulation. And maybe there'll be some of our relatives or people we love. Or if you were to turn away from God and not want Him, even though you're somewhat close to Him, but you've never made a decision for Him, you may go through the Great Tribulation. And you may remember some of these Wednesday nights that we've been together. I'd say it's just so much better to run and leap into His arms than to wait for anything. And you'll be amazed of what He'll do to change you. So, Lord, I thank You again for these men and women that have gathered another Wednesday night here in Romaland. And as we've come to the 6th chapter now, we realize that the whole world is going to change at the end of this chapter. And the people, we're going to see how wicked the hearts of the people in the world truly are without You. And it's just a frightening thing to think is going to happen. And I know in a crowd this size that there's hundreds of people that we all know combined. And if we sat down tonight and we just one by one wrote out a whole list and each person took as long as it took to tell everybody they know and they're concerned about, there'd be hundreds of people that are not going to be in heaven. And we want them to come to heaven with us and to miss this ugliness that's coming. But bless my brothers and sisters. And again, I thank You for the great privilege and the great honor that You've given me to be with them for these weeks and that we can grow together and that You'll really do something unique and have mercy on America, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. So John is now given an invitation. First, in chapter 4, he says, after this. That was the first key I taught you from chapter 1. Whenever it says hereafter or after this, anything to do with a time change, it's the Greek word meta tauta. It's three words. Meta, M-E-T-A, tauta, T-A-U-T-A. Got it? Meta tauta. Say it out loud with me. Meta tauta. Okay, that's the main key to open up the book of Revelation. And it literally means in sequence. This happened after what you just read happened. This happened after all that you've just read. Now, we've gone through chapter 1, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's being unveiled. Chapter 2 and 3 was He speaking to the church throughout history and the church at that time. And it could, one of those churches applies to this church. And He used it as a stamp for us to understand that churches are all different, but all have the same head. He's the head. And then we realize the church disappears in chapter 4, and it goes up to heaven. In chapter 5, it's singing praises to Jesus. And that's the rapture of the church that we're seeing by getting that. That's what happened after the church age, when He was done with the church, up into heaven. Now we come to chapter 6, He gets another invitation. So the Apostle John takes the invitation, says, come here, I want to show you something. And he's got this scroll. And many believe that scroll was a real estate claim. And in those first century days, a scroll would be a deed, and they'd put stickers all around it. And the owner would take it and put it in a safe deposit box or in a safe or something. So we're going to see a scroll that some commentators would say, when Adam and Eve were in charge of the earth, they gave up their rights to the devil. Now, most of us can identify that. When we gave our rights up to the devil, we got pretty badly beat up. But when Jesus stepped in and had paid the price for us and has forgiven us and given us new life, we become new creatures in Christ, everything's wide open to us. There's nothing we can't accomplish with all things are possible with God, especially the things that are impossible with man. And I love it when I see Him doing the impossible. So this 6th chapter, he goes and he sees these creatures, probably the same ones that were the cherubim that were in heaven, and they are worshiping forever and ever. And in the midst of all the noise, the Lamb walks up, Jesus, and he takes the scroll. And in verse 2, I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. So the first thing that happens when the judgment is being unleashed is a world leader shows up. Now, there's a key here for you, another key I'll give you. One is a lot of people say, well, he's on a white horse, that means he's a good guy. Good guys in the cowboy movies ride white horses. Bad guys wear black hats and ride usually the black horse. And that's not it here. This is not the Lord Jesus. And one of the keys of Revelation is the words that are chosen. Now, if you don't understand the language, I don't understand the language that well, but I have books that tell me. And one of the simplest books would be called Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. And the reason it's exhaustive is because it's so big and heavy to carry around. But you can get it online. You can just go to Strong's online, or you can go to Blue Letter Bible and put in the Bible verses you're reading and say, well, what does that word mean? And then you just hit it, and it'll give you the translation. This is what that word means. And this is the main key that tells us it's not Jesus, and it's his description. A white horse, okay? He's got a bow, all right? And what else does he have? Well, he has a bow, a crown is given to him, and he went forth conquering and conquer. First of all, Jesus is not conquering anything. He's the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. He sits on the throne of authority. This is a worldly man that's given the crown. Jesus received the crown from his Father because he's the only begotten Son, and he paid the price on the cross. This person has authority, given him this crown. And that's the key word. There's two words for the word crown. There's Stephanos. And Stephanos is the Roman crown, or the Olympic crown, be a better picture, of the Olympics, of the Greek Olympics. And it's made out of laurel. And it's wove together, and there's some leaves on it. And that's a Stephanos. And that is a crown that's given to the winner. This guy has won something. He's won. All the powers of the world have been given to him. And so he's coming in conquering, and he comes to conquer anybody that gets in his way. And so there's a leader to the end times. Now, the other word for crown is diadem. And diadem is a royal crown, and it's royalty that wears it. This man is not royalty, but Jesus, when it talks about him with the crown, he wears a diadem. He isn't conquering. He's not trying to prove anything, and it doesn't come from man, the Stephanos. So there's your key. Though it looks like, and some people say, well, that's Jesus. He's on the white horse. Then the next thing is, that you want to look at here is that he had a bow. So he's ready for war. He's got this crown given to him. He has full-on authority. And he went out. The minute he was released with that first seal coming off, he was released to go out and to conquer. Now, when he opened the second seal, remember there were seven of them, I heard the second living creature say, come and see. So it's nothing that's hidden. You can look at this and you'll see the whole spectrum of what's going to happen when you go to heaven and the rest of the world is left to be judged because they want to be judged and they want to reject God. I saw, he said, he opened and the creature said, come and see. And there went out another horse. This one was red. Take note, first one's white, second one's red. Power was given to him that sat on that horse to take peace from the earth. I want you to note that. And that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. So this guy comes on. He's going to conquer, and he's conquering. The next horse that comes, this rider and this horse talks about death. And this person has power. It's given to him. He knows he has it, and he's taken peace from the earth. And tonight, we can see that more peace has been removed from the earth in the last 3 years, probably, than any one period at one time. And I was reading some things online today about the biggest bankers and billionaire people that manage that stuff. They said, get ready for what's coming, because everybody's going to lose everything. That's being said in more than one place. It's going to be a complete collapse of everything. You and I do not need to worry. The Lord will always feed his children. I know I'd do anything for my 6 children and their 31 kids. There isn't anything I wouldn't do. So if I would be like that, I know God will look after you and the people you love. And he'll always provide. You'd never have to do anything illegal. God will bring it to you, and he will bless you. So he opened it, said, come and see. Sounds all friendly. Hold it, this guy can take peace away? Yeah, he's manipulating through politics, different things. So power was given, and he takes peace from the earth. And the people should kill one another. Now, murders are over the top in Chicago, New York City, Washington, D.C. Those are the 3 main murder capitals of America. Our national capital happens to be one of them. It's very, very sad to see how that in our country, not just our country, but we're responsible. We are the people of this country. And you stop and you think that this is already gone. Peace has been taken. And killing one another seems to be just a pastime. Tens and twenties of thousands of Americans are homeless on the streets. I was homeless. I know what it's like to hitchhike around the country and not have a place to stay. And you have to be a good defender to take care of yourself. But it wasn't you go into an area and there'd be 5,000 people in tents, like in Los Angeles, on 2 or 3 streets, another 5,000 on 2 or 3 other streets, but thousands at a time. And it used to be that it was after the governor released the people from mental hospitals in California, that's when it really exploded. And before that, it was after the Vietnam War. I watched it through all of Southern California, how that the people coming back from Vietnam, they were on the streets. They lost their minds. And so you've got this crippled group of people that are a foundation of America. And then you now have, because of the collapsing of our economy, people that are able to work, that can't work, and they're living in the midst of all of that. It's very, very sad. I talked to one of the chiefs of police in Los Angeles at dinner one night, and I asked him about, what's this I see on the news about the trains being robbed, like the cowboy days? He says, oh yeah, they're come up in gangs, and the trains are stopped waiting to get into Los Angeles, and there's just not enough security, and they break open the cars, and they steal the television sets and all the things they can make money off of. He said, but that's nothing. By the time the trains get past Riverside and they start towards the desert, there is no response time to protect them. And as they get out going across the country, forget about it. We're in a very, very weak spot as a nation. And God is judging us. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. Now again, he's being invited. So God's not hiding anything from us. He wants us to come and see. And he says, come and see what is here. And I beheld, now there's a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. So you've got a world leader that's godless. Then you've got killing all over the world and peace disappearing. And now, he says in the next verse, I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see, or a denarii, some of your Bibles say, and see that you do not hurt the oil or the wine Interesting. People take this verse and they say, well, the Bible says you won't be able to buy a loaf of bread. Now, that's not what it's saying. It'll take you one denarii was equal to one whole day of labor. It'll take you two whole days just to get the ingredients to make bread. That means the bread factories are going to all be blown out. There won't be any distribution. I have a friend that's in heaven now, and Max was the president of the California Truckers Association. He had a large trucking company not far from here. And he told me back in the 1980s that we all know that own trucking companies, there's coming a day when it'll be so violent in America that we will not take our trucks into the warehouses of the large cities. We're trying to work a situation that when it gets to the year 2000, we would be able to have secondary places full of security that we can unload our trucks and get out. We're there. We're there right now. But people are, yip, 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 yip. They're watching the Three Stooges or something. I don't know what they're doing. So he says to him, I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a day's work, and see that you don't hurt the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. So four seals out of the seven, and it's always an invitation. God wants people that can read and hear. And remember, the very first night we were together, he put a blessing on those that hear these words and those that read these words. So you're getting two blessings every time you come on Wednesday night, one for hearing and the other for reading it yourself. Isn't that cool? He likes to double bless you. I'll take all the blessings he'll give. So he says, come and see. And the fourth beast called him. So he took this invitation and he said, I looked. And behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him, look at this, was death, and hell followed him. Notice heaven's not following all the people that are dying. Isn't that interesting? And hell follows death. Spooky. I don't know why I've noticed this. My wife first noticed it because we have such a large family. But it seems like people in our neighborhood are spending more on decorating their houses for Halloween and less do they decorate for Christmas outside. You know, all the little children. I remember being a little kid. That was fun getting free candy and hyped up on the sugar. You know? But we've gotten so evil that the Bible said in the last days they call evil good and good evil. Isn't that interesting? It's exactly what they're calling everything in reverse. Death and hell followed with him, death being a person apparently. And power was given unto them, who? Death and hell. The one to kill and the place the dead souls will go for judgment. Look at this. Power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth. That should strike your heart. A fourth part of the earth tonight, we're at beyond 8 billion people. That would be 2 billion people are wiped out just by this judgment. Not the famine and the other things, but right here. Death and hell will consume 2 billion people. That's 12 zeros with a 2 in front of it. Not $2 with 1 zero, 2 zeros, not 200, not 2,000. Not 20,000, not 200,000, not 2 million, not 200 million. Billions, 12 zeros will be killed when this seal is opened up. I want to get to as many of those people as I can. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, there are different ways to look at this, and there are two ways that make a lot of sense. These are the souls of people that are living during the Great Tribulation. And that could be one of our family members. And they remember what happened to you and how your life changed and you got better. And you started loving people, and you started a whole new lifestyle. And you were a person of the Bible, and you went to church, and they think, phooey on that. And they'll remember, though, and they'll come to the Lord. So it could be them. It could be others. They're witnessing, and they get killed for witnessing because it won't probably be allowed. And the other one is that these voices under the altar that were slain could also be over the ages. But more than likely, you see it in Revelation, it's probably those that went through the tribulation and they lost their lives that are there. So their souls are there underneath the altar. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the soul of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, a couple of years back was in when ISIS was doing a lot of bad things. I went with a team to Iraq. And we had some Navy SEALs on contract to protect us. One of our team members was killed. And we were specifically helping the rescued Yazidi women you may have read about. And they were mainly young girls, but there were grandmas and there were older women that were kidnapped and beaten near death and programmed to be sex slaves for the ISIS people. And I wouldn't call them men. They were beyond beast. These men that did what they did, just sickening and disgusting. And we saw the Lord move in a very powerful way. Up on the Syrian border, I was asked to speak one night at a Christian church. There were 60 people there. There was a man that was 30, 32 years old. He was the worship leader. And we sat down. He spoke perfect English. And he told me that he personally was looking after and paying the expenses of 10,000 women that were kidnapped by ISIS. I don't know where he got his money or his business, but I thought, oh my goodness, one man doing good. I had a 16-year-old and a 15-year-old that were born on the same street, lived on the same street, and were kidnapped by ISIS on the same street and thrown into the trunk of the car. And the 16-year-old, when she was talking to me, I realized she had a photographic memory. She told me the exact time they went up the street when the two of them were in the trunk, and 18 minutes later they made a right turn, and they went 23 minutes, and they were about 6 miles, they made a left turn. I said, hold on, stop, how do you know this? Said, because I know the smell of the cow dairy farm, and we made a right turn at the dairy farm, and that's exactly, and she knew the mileage. And the other is an oil refinery, gas. And we made a turn there. She knew exactly in her mind. A clock was on, she said. They got into a van with 25 young girls. They got into a bus with 50 young girls. They got into a room of a gymnasium with 500 girls and women. And there's an auction for them to be sold. And the 16-year-old was so fun to listen to because she just had a strong spirit. And she said, and there were Americans there. I said, what, hold it, you mean American women were kidnapped? She said, no, American men buying the women. I said, what? I know the language. I said, hold it, you mean like English? She said, yes. I mean like London English? No. New Zealand English? No. Australian English? No. American. And there was one man that I was standing next to, his hand was completely filled with $100 bills rolled up. And I said, now, how would you know that? She said, because I looked underneath my scarf they had over my eyes. She was a tough little cookie. They got her into the room. Three men bought her and her 15-year-old friend. I don't even want to tell you what happened to them. So this girl at 16 is so badly beaten up and raped so many times by Saturday. She says to her little neighbor, I'm running away and you're coming with me. And she says, how are we going to get out? She says, we're going to break that window. She broke the window. They jump out. They ran for miles and miles for 2 hours in three cars with the headlights going over the desert just like this. And they knew they were looking for them. So they got up. They surrendered. These men just were ruthless to them. And they slammed them up again. She said, they're not going to bother us again. She said, they're going to kill us. It's going to be Sunday tomorrow. They're going back to work on Monday. They're going to kill us. So why are we putting up with it? Well, how are we going to get out? They didn't fix the window. They climbed out again, and they called couple of uncles that came and got them, and they got to a farmhouse a few hours away by running through the desert. They were so brave. I was so proud of them. You know, they had morals and ethics, and they accepted what had happened to them. But I offered for the youngest one, she had no place to go. I lost her mom and dad, killed by the ISIS guys. I said, you can come live with my wife and myself. And but I don't know how to read or write. And said, well, we have a school at our church, and we'll put you through school, get you into college if you want. She bawled and bawled and bawled. You know, this whole group of Muslim women that had been molested, to say the least. We were in a group with about 6 psychologists and counselors, and the lead girl, 24, she had a 5-year-old little girl. She's walking around that tent. Most beautiful little girl, blue eyes, light hair, and light skin, though she was Iraqi. The mother, who was probably a little bit stronger than the rest of the women, said there's posters all over northern Iraq for a huge reward for her. What do you mean? She'd make them millions of dollars. You mean the men at the auctions? Yes. Made me sick to my stomach. When we finished, I said, would you mind if we all stood up before we leave and joined hands and prayed? And they said, no. And then I realized, first of all, I'm an American. Secondly, I'm a man, and I shouldn't be holding hands. And I thought, ah. And she said, could I say something on behalf of all of us? I said, absolutely. We don't want to be Muslim. We want what is ever inside of all of you. Amen. That has come here from America to love us. Amen. That was one of the greatest honors I'd ever received from somebody. That's why I'm trying to get their guitar and violin talking. So you can get the picture. You guys start talking and watch the power that comes from God, because a threefold cord, wrap it up 3 times, is not easily broken. You're off on your own, you're loners, you're strong-willed, you're going to do life your way. No, we need each other. We are the body of Christ. He is the head of the body, and we are his hands and feet. I want to challenge you. Use every hour for the rest of your life, and I've got less than all of you. Use it for the glory of God and for other people to know his love. And let him love you. Let him love you. So you look at this and you say, my goodness, they're going to kill with a sword the fourth part of the earth. And look what their death and hell are going to use. They're going to kill with a sword, so war. Hunger, so famine. I don't know if you're noticing big grocery stores. Lots of eggs are missing. Lots of bread. Lots of milk. A lot of products. They used to fill them all the way to the top. And now you're finding, notice, some are thinned out and some are empty. We're in for big trouble in a very short time. Get ready. Fourth part of the earth is going to kill with the sword, famine and hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth. How would the beasts of the earth be getting you and me? Well, we live near a canyon. So when I walk at night, I used to walk towards the canyon where the dog goes in the daytime and take her leash off and let her be a dog. But now the groups of coyotes that greet us, I say, no, we're going to go this way tonight. And they're all around here, coyotes. There's rattlesnakes, there's, you know, gophers and rats and all sorts of things. But the beasts of the earth are going to have such free reign. You think defunding the police is going to cause bigger problems? Defunding everything will cause all the problems. And when there are no taxpayers paying taxes, the politicians are out of work. And the crooks are going to do whatever they want. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Good question. White robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So there will always be people that believe like you and I do in Jesus Christ as the Son of God that are going to suffer. And I spent one whole summer in Eastern Europe when the communists were ruling all of Eastern Europe, and I left my family, and I saw Christians drive 3 or 4 miles, some of them, to come to a Bible study that an American had a Bible that they could look at and learn from. I mean, people that would take 8 hours from work, another 3 hours to take a bus, another hour to walk up to the mountain to the farmhouse, and then get home by 2 in the morning and start their work day at 4 by going down 45 minutes from their mountain to the bus to 30 minutes into the town. They sacrifice. They do anything. When you bring them a Bible, you'd think that you just gave them $5 million. I got a Bible. I got my own Bible. I can read my own Bible. Oh, praise the Lord. Wow. So there's some heavy suffering coming, but be aware that in China and North Korea and Cuba and different places I've been, Russia, there is some horrible things that happens to believers. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and there's a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, can't see it, and the moon became as blood. Wow. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. Some say, well, this could be either angels or it's meteors and meteorites. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed like a scroll. Underline this in the person's Bible sitting on your right-hand side. This is a verse you don't ever want to forget. The heavens, you're looking at the sky, and it rolls up like a scroll when it's rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. There's a pastor in Oregon, Denny Stahl. He was on LSD, sitting in a city park, and a Christian came by witnessing to him in the late 60s and told him about Jesus and read this from the book of Revelation. He's on LSD, freaked out. When that guy left, he looked up and the sky rolled up like a scroll, just like he read in Revelation. And the Warner Brothers cartoon circle came and Porky Pig stuck his head out and said, "Badia, badia, folks, that's all." And Denny accepted Jesus right there on the spot. It freaked him out. And now he's a pastor. Heaven departed. Every mountain, every island. Imagine every island. He lived on Hawaii, moved out of their place. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, and here's the problem. These are the people that are controlling everything today, probably. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man, look at this, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. They were so frightened, there's nowhere to go, and look at what they said. They said to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Why didn't they cry out and say, "God, forgive us of our sins"? I had a 15-year-old girl meet with me before the service tonight, and she had a question. Very good, deep thinking. She wanted to know about people that went to hell. If Jesus said, "We're forgive 7 times 70, why wouldn't God forgive? And I explained to her basically this. People don't want to be forgiven. They don't want to spend eternity with God. And all of us in this room were on that path at one time, living for pleasure and self, until we saw the light and we realized Jesus was the way, the truth, and what else? The life. And we really didn't have a life before we met Jesus. We had a lot of experiences. But for them to cry out and to know, they said, "The great day of his wrath has come." They knew that judgment was coming. Who shall be able to stand? And I'd like to say this. You'll be able to stand, won't you? All right, I want you to stand right now. If you're going to stand for God, and turn to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. And then we'll worship some more and pray for you. The question from the ungodly person is, things are so bad, we want to commit suicide with the rocks and the mountains caving in on us where we ran to hide. They know the truth. His great day of wrath has come, and they never prepared for it. And when it came, they didn't even ask forgiveness. That's how hard their hearts are. I don't want my heart ever be that hard. Who shall be able to stand? Okay, this is very short. It's only a few verses, and I'd like you to memorize it. We'll work on it next week when they come together. It's only six verses. But this psalm will guide you the rest of your life. Would you read it out loud? I'm reading from the King James. Just read whatever version you have. Would you read it out loud with me? Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Sit, walk, stand. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The ungodly shall not, what? Stand. They shall not stand. And they are the ones that ask the question, who shall be able to stand? And you're all standing. The answer is pretty simple. Jesus comes into our heart. We'll make it through the worst part of anything. There isn't anything you can't make it through with Jesus. I don't care how big the problem is or the person. Lord Jesus has gifts and ways beyond man's understanding. No matter how painful it gets, how sad you get, or how down, keep your life in his hands. Don't ever think that it's so bad that you can't live another hour. That's the devil talking. You belong to God. He bought you with a price. He allowed his son to die on the cross because of your sins, not his. And God accepted that price for you. And he allowed Jesus to die so that you would never die and shed his blood so that you would experience eternal life. Behold, the Lamb of God is exactly what John the Baptist said. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. He's your brother. He's the one that will make you stand. So don't fear fear. God has not given you the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, but he's given you love, power, and a sound mind. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love, and perfect love casts out all fear. So if you have flashbacks, you have fear, get perfect in God's love. That'll never bother you again. You're looking at a guy that lost his mind for 2 years. I thought I was dead until Jesus came and healed me. And I know that some of you struggle, but there isn't anything he wouldn't do for you. Just surrender. So as we close in worship, if you want prayer tonight, please, you come. We'll pray for you right now and ask God to touch you. And go from here knowing that you shall stand in the great judgment. Father, I thank you for these dear men and women that love you and that are learning and they want more. And you want to give them more and you want them to know more. And you want them to see how big your kingdom is. And you want to save them so they can enjoy all that's out there. Some of them are very timid and shy because they've had so much pain inflicted upon them. And they don't trust their own judgment. But I'm asking tonight you'll erase all that. I'd like to pray that you'll take all the fear away that comes from having used too much alcohol in our brain and too much marijuana and other drugs. It's a miracle that most of us are even alive tonight. I pray for these men and women. They're your children. And I know how much you love them. And we're here because you've asked us to be here to remind them how much you love them. Pray for every one of their families. You'll heal any rifts between their parents, their brothers and sisters. You will work in the lives of their grandparents, their uncles, their aunts, those that have turned against them maybe. And that people will be in awe like you did with my family. That my father-in-law would forgive. And my mother-in-law and my mom would come to you at 60 years of age after running from her Christian family all those years as a teenager. Let our lives change according to your word, that all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places have been given unto us. And may we now start to appropriate them and share them with people. So forgive us this night of our sins and our shortcomings. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for our mistakes, for the things that we wish we'd never done. Let them all just drift away and let us be filled with your Holy Spirit. Bless, we pray. Bless and hear their cries. In Jesus' name.